I've been kind of preparing our hearts towards what it means to be baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and going through some examples. Last week, we talked about what it means to be filled with the Spirit as an individual. And we took an example from Stephen, one of the deacons. And we realized that, you know, a Spirit-filled individual, a deacon who was appointed, one of the seven, to serve the table. Even if serving the table required the Holy Spirit, definitely if we are to preach the word, any ministry of the word, we need to be filled with the Spirit. So just a brief recap for Stephen. He was a man filled with the Spirit, full of faith. So full of faith. Man with full of the Spirit is full of faith. And the second one was full of grace and power to perform miracles. So a person filled with the Holy Spirit definitely has some kind of power to bless people and people's life change. Something happens. Thirdly, here's a man full of wisdom. That's why some of the the Jewish people from the synagogue of Freeman, they were trying to overcome him with their argument of their understanding. They could not overcome him. Stephen was full of wisdom. So if you want to go evangelize, you know, and be effective, you better be full of the Spirit. And so that you can be full of wisdom, so that, you know, none of their arguments can overpower you, because the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is amazing. Fourthly, when the people of the council fixed their gaze on him, he had the face of an angel. So a person filled with the Holy Spirit has a countenance of an angel, a bright countenance. There's something not gloomy about a person filled with the Spirit, and not a bad first impression. But, you know, especially when you come across people, you know, you should have a very pleasant, good impression. It's not just external, but it comes from within, being full of the Spirit. And then he, you know, declared how starting from Abraham, and how it came to Isaac, you know, Jacob and the patriarch, the 12 tribes of Israel. And then goes on and declares how Christ came, and then they crucified him. So here we see that a person filled with the Spirit is bold to proclaim Christ. Bold, fearless to declare the truth, speak the truth. But basically, I think the better topic for this one is boldness to proclaim Christ, full of the Spirit. And after at the end of the chapter, you know, being about to being stoned to death by these people, he looked at the heaven, and he saw the glory of the Father and the Son sitting next. So a person with full of the Spirit, you know, is blessed with the revelation, vision of God, more understanding of God, you know. So God shows himself more. And so all of us, we want to know God more, see God more. Well, we need to be filled with the Spirit. God, more we are filled with the Spirit, God reveals himself more to us. And finally, that as he was about to die, as he was falling on his knees, you know, he said, I receive my Spirit, and do not hold this against them. A person filled with the Spirit definitely, you know, entrust his death. You know, he's being stoned and he's dying. And, you know, he just surrendered his life, Spirit, unto the Lord. And even forgave the one who stoned them. Say, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. So that's a person filled with the Spirit. Does that make sense? So this is a good review. But now what I wanted to talk about is, You know, what is a community? What is a community filled with the Spirit look like? That's an individual filled with the Spirit. This is like, what is a community filled with the Spirit look like? And chapter 2 is just classic because they just were baptized. The Holy Spirit came with the rushing wind. I'll talk about that next time. And then Peter stands up. Again, here's a Peter filled with the Spirit. He's a fisherman. He just went through some failures of his life. He just went through some major failures of renouncing Christ. But he got reinstated by Christ and then received the Holy Spirit. And he was able to stand before 3,000 people. Wait a minute, more than 3,000 people, because 3,000 people came and got baptized through that preaching. So he was able to stand up from before many thousands of people to declare, you know, Christ is the Messiah. You killed all the prophets and you killed him. And even though he's dead, he's not going to stay dead. He was to be resurrected. And then he quotes the passage from the Old Testament. He shall not undergo decay. That he was to be resurrected. He was resurrected. And we are eyewitnesses. You know, Peter is declaring powerfully. And so here it is. After he preached, in verse 37 is what we read. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart through Peter's preaching. And that's another, you know, powerful impact. As a person filled with the Spirit preaching makes a powerful pierce, you know. So, you know, you could tell how much I'm filled with the Spirit by when I preach the word, does it pierce your heart? Well, actually, you know, the word of God itself has power. So it'll pierce your heart. But if a person filled with the Spirit preaches, it has a greater power. And sure enough, Peter, full of the Spirit, preaching boldly, he was able to, you know, God used them to pierce their heart. And so they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? You know, these guys are so pierced to the heart. Korean expression is 찔려서. You know, this pierce, you know, convicted by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, you need to have some kind of pierce to the point that, what shall we do? Or what shall I do? That's like really being convicted. And Peter said, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Spirit. There it is. These people, 3,000 or more people, heard this and they said, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so you can receive the Holy Spirit. So repentance is necessary. Repentance is necessary. And being baptized in the name of Jesus is necessary. Not only the external baptism in the name of Jesus, but that refers to the spiritual baptism. Repentance and spiritual baptism is necessary. And it says, this promise in verse 39 is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to himself. This is a great, amazing promise. If you repent, you will be baptized with the Spirit. If you repent of your sins, you will be baptized with your Spirit, with the Spirit. But you need to be convicted. Convicted, pierced to the heart, to the point of repentance, so that the Holy Spirit would come into us. And the promise is for you and your family. You and your children, and even those people who are far away from God, far off. No matter how far off you're from God, if you are pierced to the heart by the word of God, and then you respond in repentance. Repentance means acknowledging sin and turning back to God. It's a change of heart, change of mind. So it goes on, it says, and with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received the word and were baptized on that day were added about 3,000 souls. So he continued to solemnly testify, kept exhorting them. You know what he exhorted? It's not just believe in Jesus Christ, repent. He also said, be saved from this perverse generation.
So there is
being delivered from this perverse generation is important. It's not enough to say, okay, I believe in Jesus. I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But if you believe in Christ, repent and believe in Christ, and you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, then that is a resource to be delivered from this perverse generation. And so this message, you know, Peter was exhorting continuously is, Jesus is Christ who died but resurrected. You need to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, believe in Jesus, and you'll be baptized, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And not only that, that means you are to be delivered from this perverse generation. Perverse generation. So there's a, there being making a repentance. So the repentance is related to this. Repentance is knowing the perverse generation, knowing I'm involved with the perverse generation, changing a mind, changing a heart. I don't want to live in this perverse generation. I want to change to live for God is repentance. Only if we have decided in our heart to say, I want to renounce this perverse generation to live for God, is the kind of heart that you can have true repentance and true faith. Does that make sense? So recently, I was again accused of being controlling, and especially through Bible study. If you fall into P&M, you know what P&M is, pornography, masturbation, you know, it's a thing that happens this time and age. You talk about freshmen coming in to college, you can pretty much guarantee almost 100%, or if not 90%, is struggling with pornography and masturbation. At the time that I started dealing with it, our ministry were struggling about 70%. And then I asked the guy from AA, and he said, I think 100% struggles with it. And so this is a sad thing that's going on in this perverse generation. And so at that point, I made a
survey
in our ministry and said, okay,
let's talk about who's
struggling. And as a result, there was few guys, maybe several, but the rest of the guys were struggling. And the guys who were struggling with it were leaders. Leaders who were leading Bible study. Leaders who were leading praise. Leaders who were emceeing and being up front representing the ministry. And I said, that cannot be. You know, the Church of Christ is a holy temple of God. How can we be involved in this perverse generation and be able to, you know, represent the church? So I made some requirements. If you struggle with P&M, you won't be able to lead Bible study for a certain amount of time.
You can
do one-on-ones. You can
evangelize.
That's okay. More one-to-one context. But in a group context where there's body presence, if you struggle with this, I'm going to have to say, you know, you won't be able to lead for at least a certain amount of weeks until you get renewed. It's not that that's permanent. And with praise or whatnot. So basically, you know, this was implemented to protect the church, protect the ministry. Because if we struggle with that and we just struggle with that regularly, and, you know, I won't say anything to newcomers or people who are not leaders. We try to help them, but, you know, this was more of a requirement for leaders.
But I think this was a wholesome step.
After that, 90% of the people start becoming victorious. So our ministry went from 70% struggling to 90% doing well. And so since that time, we kept the policy going. So if you want to be leader, you need to have a proven character in PNM. But if you do struggle, then you have to have a certain amount of weeks to rest. And so this is a requirement now, and still is. And so from the person who's receiving this, I guess it may be seen as, oh, Pastor Ben is using this PNM to deny privileges or control us.
Yes, but you see the problem, like, I can do this, I can do that.
But from my side is, I'm trying to protect the church. Can a person who's struggling with PNM be leading Bible study? Can a person struggling with that be leading praise or preaching? No, that we can't just let it go. We need to take some pause and have a renewed time. It's a protection, especially the church's holy temple of God, holy temple of God. And as we come together, his presence is at stake. I told you many times, or different places I visited, and I just felt the heavy, dark cloud in the room. Heavy, dark cloud. From our ministry, ICA ministry. And later on, I found out the leader was struggling. The members are struggling with, you know, such immorality. So when majority of the members struggle with, you know, things of perverse generation, then the presence of God will be hindered. In fact, different leaders, they go visiting the churches and they kind of assess the presence of God. They go to one church and say, I don't sense the presence of God here. They're meeting for service, but I don't sense it. Another church, they go, there's a presence of God. Two or three come together, definitely Jesus is present. But there's a presence of God that's impacted by what kind of lives the members live. We all affect each other. Everything affects the church as we meet together. So we repent, we pray. You know, we can command enemy presence to depart. But it affects the presence of God. But what it also affects is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will be quenched. Holy Spirit will be quenched. So therefore, here, he says, repent. Repent from what? From this things of this perverse generation, so that you can move away from perverse generation back to God and truly believe in Christ. It's not enough to say, I believe in Christ, but I'm involved in this perverse generation. That's not true repentance. And the church, you know, you can't be filled with the Spirit that way. So here, you know, even after saying repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, you will be receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then Peter testifies, kept exhorting them, be saved from this perverse generation, because that is necessary. That is a decision necessary to be filled with the Spirit, to have a genuine faith as well. Does that make sense? So this is introduction, by the way. this is how these 3,000 people received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. So what is the characteristics of a community filled with the Holy Spirit? So first thing is written right here, verse 43. They were continually devoted to themselves, to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A community filled with the Holy Spirit, full of joy. You know, it says in verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs are taking place. So they were full of joy and gladness to continually devote themselves to apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. I was almost hoping, I wish they put evangelism in there or witnessing. Then there would be the wheel. But that part is coming later. So here, the apostles' teaching is the word, right? They really enjoy God's word. And then they fellowship with one another. Fellowship in the Holy Spirit is amazing. I hope you felt that. There's a fellowship in the natural, and there's a fellowship in the spirit. I hope you guys know how to discern that. We're thankful for our fellowship in the natural. We got friends, you know. You got things in common. You know, you care for one another. That's totally fine. But this fellowship is a spiritual fellowship. Spiritual fellowship. And I'm just reminded of my fellowship with the brother, the pastor who visited my, 60th birthday? You know, Korean pastor who spoke a little broken English. You know, he and one of my other best friend, he's a doctor, and he also retired. And, you know, some of the, us three was from the high school group. We were best friends from high school. And then Frank and Luke, I'm talking about these guys are from college. You know, college best friend. I got a high school best friend and college best friend. But we used to get together. We went to the same conference
and we were blessed.
We should just get together and just start jamming. Dejo, the guy who came, the pastor who came, he start jamming and he's just enjoying praising and we all join in and say, wow, you know, we just have a great praising time. Spontaneous. It's not having a Wednesday meeting or a Sunday meeting. It's just spontaneous. I hope you guys really, I was asking Ed, do you sing any of the song you're leading by yourself?
Sometimes.
Okay. Do you ever sing any of these songs by yourself? I hope you do. Because some of these songs are kind of like pretty, a lot of words. So, I hope you sing a lot of these songs by yourself and enjoy it yourself spontaneously. But when you're with the brothers or sisters, you spontaneously just kind of burst out into singing and praising.
Whether with guitar or without guitar.
I've seen this not in, you know, that community. I saw it in any community. And, you know, where there is a fullness of the Spirit, there is a blessing of praise music. Praise music. That's why all the praise music came out, because people filled with the Spirit, you know, we used to have praise 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way to 15 or something like that. Now we have, like, hillbilly songs. What do you call that? Hill songs? And, you know, different generation has different songs are an expression of Holy Spirit-filled people. So don't take music lightly. You know, Old Testament says, you know, sing a new song. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts of praise, you know, with a new song.
Serve
the Lord gladly, but sing a new song. So fellowship here is a spiritual fellowship. We can sing praise. We can share testimonies. We can give thanks and praise to God. Breaking of bread. That's not in the wheel. Breaking a bread is not in the wheel. Prayer is in the wheel. Apostles teaching, the receiving the word of God is in the wheel. Breaking of bread is not in the wheel. Breaking of bread is, really hospitality and giving and receiving. And that goes into the next point, later point. But this mostly refers to eating together. But I'm sure there is a reference to breaking bread, having communion together as well. So a spirit-filled
community has an
overflowing sense of awe of God's presence in their midst. For where two or three come together, there I am in the midst of them. They are in that presence of God, enjoying the teachings of the apostles. How many enjoy hearing Pastorman's teaching? Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. Well, because Yvonne used to hear twice a week. She went to UCLA and heard my message, and then she went to USC and heard my same message again. Is it redundant, or, you know, there's something to gain on the second one? You know why? Because I never say the same thing twice.
Exactly. I say slightly differently.
So there's a different point might be emphasized, you know. So, but when you have the Holy Spirit, you really enjoy receiving the word of God from your teachers and your pastors and, you know, even your Bible study leaders, and, you know, you enjoy the word of God. You know how I know somebody's filled with the Spirit? If they really love DFD. If you love DFD, then you're filled with the Spirit. At least that much. If you don't love DFD, you know, even after you did countless number of DFD, you know, Bible study book, you did it. You went through it, you led it many times, and I led it many, many times, but every time I come back to DFD book two is my favorite, the spiritual basics. We're in book two right now. And I loved it when I was a kid, and I loved it now. I love it now. So it's a simple question and answer. But if a person is able to enjoy that simple question and answer, and looking at the Bible, and the Word of God blesses you, then you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But if you're all heady and not necessarily spirit, then you might say, I've done this before. It's not too insightful anymore. It's so-so. But then, you know, they're not thinking it as a Word of God that could bless me in a fresh way now. So, but anyway, definitely a community filled with the Spirit in continually devote themselves, receiving the Word of God, fellowshipping in the Spirit, breaking bread, sharing lives, and prayer. So this is, you know, in a nutshell, what Spirit-filled community looks like. And there's, you know, ways to grow, guys. Our community has been good, but we could be filled with the Spirit even more, and we can enjoy Spirit-filled community much, much more. You move on, in verse 43, everyone kept feeling, this is the second point, kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place among through the apostles. So, again, in this community, God's presence and power is evident. That means people are being touched. People are being touched, and they're being impacted by God. There's transformation. There's change. There is, you know, fingerprint of God in the fellowship. And all those who believe were together and had all things in common. So this is the next characteristics of a spirit-filled community, is that we share things in common generously. There's something about, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it makes a person selfless, but especially one of the important matters of our lives, our finance, our money, our wealth, becomes not such a thing that we cling on to it. When you're filled with the Spirit, whatever God blessed you, you're like open-handed, you know? You know, God give it, God take it away. It's not mine. You know, God entrusted to me. However God wants me to use it, you know, it should be done. But a Spirit-filled believer cannot be so, you know, clenched fist with our wealth. Doesn't reflect a Spirit-filled person. But here, they share everything in common, and they began to sell their properties and possession, and were sharing them with all as any might have need. Any might have need. So this one is also repeated in chapter 4. If you look at chapter 4, 32 and 34. Chapter 4, 32-34 says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul." And that's another characteristics of, you know, the community. One heart and soul. "And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own. But all things were common property to them." Verse 34, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of the land or house would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed each as any had need." So again, it's after being filled with the Spirit, congregations were one heart and one spirit, and anything that belonged to them, they didn't hold on to themselves. They consider it as a common property, and not one person was needy among them. And all the owners of land and house, they sold it and brought the proceeds, the money, laid it before the apostles. You know who was one among them who did? It was Barnabas. Next verse, it says, "Now Joseph, the Levite, the Cyprian Bert, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translate the son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." You know how Barnabas helped Saul become Paul and helped him out? He was a Spirit-filled man, and he was generous to sell his tract of land and bring it to the apostles, just like the other people were doing. Wow. So this is a test. This is a litmus test of how filled I am in the Holy Spirit, how, you know, loose hand do I have with what God gave me as a wealth. Because people filled with the Spirit consider their property not their own. They're willing to commonly share everything. I told you that Christians are the true communist. Commune, sharing. You know, fellowship means sharing, koinonia. We are the true communist. Holy Spirit-filled communist. Communists have no Holy Spirit, so they force that on people. But Christians, we have the Holy Spirit making us commune and beist, you know? But this is the characteristic of Spirit-filled community. There is a generosity, you know, sharing things in common. You know, everything of mine is yours and yours is mine. Oh, maybe not the other way. You know, everything mine is yours and yours is yours. You know, we don't demand other people's things. You know, that's not our part to do. But we just say, everything of mine is yours. That's the Holy Spirit expression. And I hope, I mean, I think our community has been quite generous, you know, and we have some people who are quite generous. And we could probably even grow more, but we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us amazing, amazing. A friend of mine who's a kind of a speaker who was around all over the world, and he was limited by a fund to. He was asked to come and speak somewhere, but he didn't have the fund. And one of his contacts said, "What? You're being limited by your money? You don't have money to go and do God's work?" Well, he said, this is a guy who's doing business. He said, "Wherever you're called to go speak, I will fund your travel." And so then he started going all over the world without any hesitation because of money. He both had travel money and also hotel money, whatever he needed. This business guy said, "You know, you can't be held back to serve God because of money. I'll support you. Every trip you make around the world," that's actually Pastor Johnny's friend. There was three Johns in the East Coast. Pastor Johnny's one of them. There's a little John, there's Pastor Johnny, and there's a big John, you know? I think that he was a big John. You know, he did pretty well in the business. So there's sharing generously characteristics of a Spirit-filled community. And so below that is, again, it reiterates the first point. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. In the temple, what they did was they went to pray. They kept up the regular prayer three times a day kind of thing. That's why, you know, you remember John? Peter and John was going to the temple. He met a lame person. "Money, silver and gold I have none, but arise in the name of Jesus," right? So they were going to the temple to pray. So they continued with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house again. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity. So there's a gladness and sincerity. That was what I was looking for. And they praise God, having favor with all people. And God, the Lord, was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. Those who are being saved. So a Spirit-filled community, going back to the first point, reiterated in verse 46, as we day by day continue with one mind in the temple to pray, breaking breads with one another, sharing meals with sincere heart and gladness, praising God, receiving the teaching of the apostles, fellowshipping, and sharing things in common generously, experiencing the all of God's presence, the Lord will add numbers day by day. If the Lord is not adding numbers to our community, that means, you know, we are still needing to be filled and grow more. Grow more. So there's but a Spirit-filled community cannot but, you know, attract. Unbelievers, believers cannot but attract. So this is actually a good testimony to see whether a community is filled with the Spirit or not. Another characteristic, reiterated here, chapter 4, 32. That's another time after being filled with the Spirit. I did go through that. In verse 33, though, it says, "With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abundant grace was upon them all." So there is an abundant grace overflowing in a Spirit-filled community. Abundant grace overflowing. One of the messages that I will give at this TP is, what does it mean to be strong in grace? So this grace is less about, it's included, but it's less about being gracious. what it says, it was people were abundant grace was upon them. It's more talking about how people were just being blessed by everything God was doing. This grace refers more closely to being blessed. They were abundantly blessed. They were abundantly being touched by the Holy Spirit, abundantly being touched by the Word, abundantly being touched by the fellowship, abundantly touched by all the sharings going on. So they were just really full of grace. How much are you touched by what's going on, you know, in the ministry? Or what God is doing in your life? Or what God is doing in other people's life? More you have the Holy Spirit, He will give you the sensitivity to be blessed by very little things, very little things. Yesterday, I figured out something as I was feeding my mom. By the way, my mom is in the hospital, and she is doing better, but the doctor is saying that majority of the food is going into her breathing tract. It's a little worse than, I mean, much worse than previous visit. So even water, a little bit of food. She loves eating, but then after a little while, she just kind of chokes because it went into the breathing tube. So, but anyway, I was experimenting different things. And I experimented, like, I kept my finger under her throat as she was swallowing. And then she choked less. I've discovered a way to make her not, you know, the food not to fall into the breathing tube. I put my finger every time she swallowed. I press a little bit. And she is eating more without choking. Another thing is, I mean, I knew this at home because I put her, when she has food in her lungs, I put her to the left side, and when she stays on the left side, she coughs, and then she swallows, but it doesn't go back into the breathing tube. So if she gets filled, I put her sideways, and then she coughs, and then I just let her cough and swallow, but then some of them come out. Praise the Lord! God has given me few more tricks to, once the food goes in, how I can get it out. You know, and make her feel better. I'm totally blessed. I'm totally thankful. Being thankful is being blessed. So spirit-filled community is, you know, full of thanksgiving and grace, blessed by what God is doing. And I hope we become people with grateful hearts, because grateful people are smiley people. They're joyful people, right? Yeah, Juan's always like smiley. He's always thankful for the smallest thing. Oh, I am thankful that I met with this brother. Well, you meet with a lot of people. You know, I thank God for this brother. It's because you are full of grace. You are sensitive to God's blessing and receiving blessing from God. Spirit people are like that, full of blessing. Their countenance are bright. But the other thing in verse 31, next point in verse 31 is, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking the word of God with boldness. Here is the evangelism part, right? So this is a prayer later on, away from the Pentecost prayer. So they were filled with the Spirit, but here they were praying and they were filled with the Spirit again. So you can be filled with the Spirit, but you could also quench the Spirit. So you need to repent and pray so that you could get refilled with the Spirit. Does that make sense? So this is a prayer of the thousands of people, including the apostles together, that they were, the place shook, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak the word of God with boldness. So the characteristic here is spirit-filled people. They may not be great orators. They may even be scared of talking to people. But because they are so excited for Jesus and what they're enjoying, the grace they're enjoying, they cannot contain themselves but to share. Share the word of God with boldness. With boldness. I told you that when I was in college, I had a kind of stage fright, right? I had a stage fright. I don't like big groups. I don't like to share in big groups. But I have to, when there's a small group, they're sharing, going one spot. If I be the last one to share, my heart is just pounding. And so I'm thinking about what I want to share. But then, so I don't enjoy everybody, right? But when I was, you know, filled with the Spirit more through that prayer conference, you know, I was full of grace. I enjoyed a lot of things, but I still had some of the old fear that's not totally transformed. So even though I'm excited with the blessings God's given me, but when it comes to sharing, I still feel the old nature not quite cleansed out. But God healed me along the way, and it doesn't come to me that much. I bet you, though, if I go to a strange place, a place I have not been to, and it might even come back. Who knows? But you know what I did was, but I want to share, so I'd be the first one to share. I always raise my hand and I'm sharing, be the first one to share. Then I can enjoy the rest of the sharing. That was my strategy. But I don't like to share, but then I share. I'm not like Juan. I wasn't like Juan. Juan's pretty like sharing everywhere. So the way we grew up somehow, it's not only me, my brothers and sister had the same stage fright. So it's something that happened to our family that kind of brought that in. So, but anyway, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're like full of grace, but you're also bold. You're willing to risk it, even though it's scary. There's got to be a courage and boldness to proclaim the word of God especially. And that's pretty scary. We're called to be fishers' men, but yeah. But if you're full of grace and full of the Spirit, then you're willing to overcome. Even though it's scary, I'm willing to do it. Willing to do it. Alyssa, when you were sharing the gospel with me back then, was it scary? But you are willing to do it with me. I see some of the Holy Spiritness back then. I trust you still have it. You know? So even though it's scary, if it's something God commanded, go, take the courage and go. Do it. So this is here's the witness part of the basics that's described. Holy Spirit community are a bunch of people who are courageous and bold. Okay? And when you show courage, even though you're scared, it inspires other people. You know that? So people know that you're kind of scared about something, but you do it anyway. And God blesses it. Oh, that's inspiring. What are you scared of? But what are some things that God commanded among those things you're scared of? Are you willing to overcome and just do it? Because if you're scared, you submit to your fear, your boundary will shrink. If this inside, right here is the areas of life that you're not scared of, but the outside is the area that you're scared of. Okay, but because you're scared, you don't, even though the will of God includes inside and outside, it's God's will, but because you're scared, you only stay within the comfortable zone. Your realm of effectiveness to be used by God is only this big. Does that make sense? And in fact, if you only stay in a comfortable zone, your boundary may even shrink. Less comfortable with less things. But if you are scared of these things outside, but because God commanded, I want to obey God in spite of the fear, then your boundary increases. You go beyond where you're scared to obey God, your boundary even increases. That's how you grow to have bigger capacity. If you want to serve God with bigger capacity, don't let fear hold you back, because it's going to shrink your capacity. But if you overcome your fear and obey God in the areas where you're afraid of, then your capacity will increase. Does that make sense? Do you get it, Big Chin? He's not a problem. Big Chin's pretty courageous. So, but the Holy Spirit people, because they are bold and courageous and obey wherever God calls you, even in the areas of fear, your capacity will increase and be used of God. Okay, how much time do I have? Am I 5 minutes? Well, this is not in the book of Acts, but I wanted to finish with this passage. This passage is Philippians 2, 1 and 2. I would say Paul is dealing with some people in the church of Philippi having a difficult time with one another. And it's a Thanksgiving letter. But this passage is a description of a spirit-filled community. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 is a description of a spirit-filled community. It has two parts to it. First part is a spirit-filled community. Community of believers within. How a spirit-filled community enjoy each other. Secondly, a spirit-filled missional team. A community and a team. We also are a team with a goal. We're not only a relational community, but we're also a spirit-filled team with a goal. God gave us a mission. It's not only for us to enjoy fellowship within, but we are to take the mission to the place that God called us to. So that's why it says in verse 1, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, in a spirit-filled community, there's encouragement in Christ. If there is any consolation of love in the spirit community, there's a consolation of love. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, again, fellowship of the Spirit, not fellowship of the natural. Spiritual community has fellowship of the Spirit. Holy Spirit is working within. And if there's any affection and compassion of Christ. Isn't that great? Would you like to have that in our community? Encouragement of Christ, consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion of Christ. Whoa, this describes a spiritual community. And we have ways to grow, don't we? We have quality of spiritual community to grow. But here's the second part. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, same love, united in one spirit, united in spirit, intending on one purpose. So this community need to have a purpose with one mind, one love, one spirit. Yeah, with united in spirit. Intending on one purpose. What is this purpose? If you go back to chapter 127, Philippians 127, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The goal is the gospel, the faith of the gospel. Does that make sense? A community is not to only enjoy encouraging fellowship in Christ, encouragement in Christ, consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion of Christ. That's great. But we can't stay there. That's not the goal of the church. That's not the call of the church. Make Paul's heart glad. Make my joy complete. Being same mind, same love, united in the Spirit. All that for intending on one purpose. One purpose is to live for the faith of the gospel, for the proclamation of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel is living the faith, but proclaiming the faith as well. Does that make sense? So spirit community, again, once they prayed, they were a place where shaken, they preached the word of God boldly. That second part, you know, enjoying the fellowship is great, but the second part is a must. It's a two-sided of the coin. One is community, the other is teamwork. Spiritual teamwork. Spiritual teamwork of love. We have a purpose. We like the community many times, but we don't like the teamwork sometimes. You know, it's like you have to do things that's possibly slightly uncomfortable. You know? But anyway, if you're spirit-filled, you love it. You love the community, you love the teamwork. If you don't like the teamwork, but you like the community, that means you're not fully spirit-filled. Spirit-filled people want to proclaim God's word and be courageous about it. Does that make sense? So this is it. There's individual characteristics of a spiritual person, but these two passages, or Book of Acts and Philippians, really describes how a community should be. How a community should be. And that's what we are hoping for our church. This is what we are hoping for individuals. That's why we want to remain holy. Separate ourselves from this perverse generation so we can wait on the Holy Spirit that the Father promised. The Pentecost. We need greater Pentecost. It's either you need the first Pentecost, which means you're not born again, you need the Spirit, or you need a consecutive filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're hoping to wait for. Next week, I'm not sure if next week the Holy Spirit is going to come powerfully like a rushing wind. But it's just symbolic. Next week is symbolic. I hope we wait for the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit comes powerfully, such that we experience evidence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I wish that for you. And I say that you do not be content or satisfied with anything less. Sometimes us in the church say, oh, I'm okay where I am. I'm okay. No. Our hope and goal is for the biblical precedent of the filling of the Spirit to come up on us and our community. This is what we want. Amen? Ed, is that what you want? Are you content with where you are? Yeah, it's kind of what was the name for that? Kind of like grateful dissatisfaction. I think that theologian said something like that, but I'm a theologian too. It's kind of like you're thankful where you are, but you're not satisfied. Grateful for where you are spiritually, for what God has done so far. Are you thankful? But are you satisfied? You want some more. So that's what I'm saying, is that being thankful for what you are, but not being satisfied, I want more. That's what the scripture is promising. The Father is promising. The filling of the Spirit. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for once again, a week minus one from the Pentecost week. And that Pentecost week is a symbol of what we really want until you fill us, Lord, in our lifetime. And so in preparation, Lord, we want to understand how, what we can do and what we can look forward to. So, Lord, you've shown us through Cornelius, through Stephen, and through this Book of Acts community, what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, we want it earnestly, Lord God. We want to hope for the filling of your Spirit in our lives, and we want to give ourselves to what you have promised us. So until your promise is fulfilled in us, would you help us to never be totally satisfied and longing for the greater filling of your Spirit? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.